Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Stand on your feet for the reading of the word. We're going to go to the first division of Psalms. And we're finally here into Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. And it said, blessed is the man, we'll just read verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Somebody say, I'm blessed when I'm planted. Amen. You may be seated. The only thing that I want to pull from our first few sessions of this series is when we talk about planted in the Western church, we usually make the reference that I'm planted in a local church. Now, let me just preface what I'm about to say with this. I love the local church. I am a fan of the local church. San Antonio has some amazing churches. Texas has some of the greatest churches in the world. And so I am a fan of a local church that I can put my roots in, that I can get married in, that I can raise my family in, that I can serve and worship in. I am a fan of the local church. But when we say planted, before we can get to the local church, what we really need to talk about is being planted in the hand of God. Because when you get planted in the hand of God, it changes everything. You know, there are people's lives who are in turmoil because they left good churches. Because they were planted in a church before they were planted in his hand. See, when I get planted in a church before I'm planted in his hand, the church can offend me. People can mess me up. People can offend me. But when I get planted in the things of God, and I get planted in the hand of God, there is nothing that the church can do. There's nothing that somebody in the church can say or do against me that gets me to uproot myself. Why? Because the fruit that comes from a planted believer is not worth going away. It's not worth forfeiting the fruit that God is getting ready to bring in your next season because you got mad at the way somebody treated you, at the what somebody said to you, that somebody ignored you, that somebody got your seat, that somebody didn't shake your hand, or in the day we're living in, that somebody shook your hand. There's a reason to be offended. When I'm in God's hands, I just chalk it up. That was a bad day for that person. They didn't mean that, or the devil's so silly to try to get me off track with something somebody said or somebody did. David would say this, and I love, and even though the Bible is not arranged in chronological order, I love that Psalm 1 comes right on the heels of the story of Job, and that Job was a man who literally was planted because he had all hell come at him in his life. Lost all of his possessions, lost all of his children, and might as well, it might have been better for him to lose his wife because she just stood there saying, curse God and die. His friends, can we talk a little bit about squad here on a Sunday morning? His squad of three friends, it was actually four, said, you did something in your life to deserve this. Come on, you need somebody in your life that is going to stand with you and say, hey, listen, you're planted. It doesn't matter what the devil has done in this season of your life. You're going to come out of this season with a testimony that God is still faithful. You're going to come out of this season better, stronger, more anointed than when you came in. And see, that's what we've been declaring the last 8, 9, 10 weeks at Living Way is we didn't choose this season, but we're planted in this season, and we're still going to produce fruit in this season. I believe we're going to sing the best songs we've ever sang, preach the best sermons we've ever preached. Isn't it amazing that the devil thought he was going to slow us down at the beginning of March? And in the last 3 months, we have preached to more people in the world than we have ever preached in any other three-month period in Living Way's history. Why? Because you've got leaders. You've got a church of believers that we are planted. If I can't get to the church, I'll have church at home. If I can't get to the altar, I'll make an altar at home. Why? Because I am planted. I am not going to the church. I am the church. Wherever I am, God is. Wherever I am, there's a vessel for the Holy Ghost to move through. Somebody say, I am planted. Somebody say, I am the church. So right after Job, we go right into Psalm 1. And this is what David says. David says there is a distinction between the planted and the unplanted. Now, can I just help you? Because I know what it's like because I do it at least once a week. To sit there in the pew when somebody's up here preaching. Don't think about everybody that's not planted right now. You see, it's very easy to say, his life's messed up because he's not planted. She's going through hell because she's not planted. It's very easy to look at everybody else. But for the next 20, 22 minutes, can you look at yourself and to make sure that you're, number one, planted in God's hand. Number two, that you are doing everything you can to put down roots where you are and say, I've been planted for 10 years, but I'm going to get a little stronger. I'm going to put some more roots. Remember, the farther you go down, the farther you grow up. The greater your roots down, the greater that God can elevate you and give you a platform to reach people with Jesus. And so this is what he said. The distinction is there is a blessing on those that are planted. Before we ever get to verse 3 that talks about the planting and the blessing there, first, before we get there, this is what David said. You have to get planted before we can ever talk about the blessing. Can I just encourage you with this? You ought to want to plant yourself in the hand of God because he's God and you're not, because he loves you with an unconditional love, because he died on the cross to save you, because he is in heaven preparing a place for us today. God should not always have to put a carrot out in front of us. I'm preaching to somebody today. God should not always have to put a carrot in front of us saying, if you obey me, this is what I'm going to do. If you'll come to church a couple times a week, then I'm going to give you this amount of money. If you do this, I'm going to give you the biggest house on the block. Now, I understand that God favors because I believe in the favor of God. But it shouldn't take the promise of favor to get you to have a relationship with God. That's good preaching right there. So he said, before we can get to the blessing, let's talk about the necessary steps that any believer should do, whether there is a blessing promised or not. He said, for you to be what God has called you to be, because before God has called you to be blessed, he's called you to be productive. Production is blessed, yes, but production means that you are living a life, as Paul would say later on, that is holy and acceptable unto God. That's Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, 1 through 3. Living yourself a life that is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. The ones that do these three things that David encourages us to do, I believe, live a transformed life. It is the three steps that we have to take to become transformed and become planted. This is what he said. Blessed is the man, there's the blessing, talks about the blessing, doesn't tell us what it is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man. There's a special blessing that goes into effect in the lives of those that are planted. He talks about the three stages of men and women in their life. Every one of us in this room, every one of us watching online today are in one of these stages. He said, those that walk, those that stand, and those that sit. The three stages of men, and we're going to break this down just for a minute. He starts backwards from where I would start from, because I would start from the least important, or the one that you should do least. I would start at sitting. Sitting Christians are not possessing Christians. Oh, come on, somebody. Sitting Christians are not advancing Christians. Sitting Christians are Christians that have arrived to a certain place and they do not feel that they can move forward anymore, and so they sit down. It's like some of you did during the fourth worship song today and tried to play it off like you just lifted your hands and you're just sitting there rocking. When really you just got tired of standing and you said, I'm going to sit this one out. That's all right. You do you, boo. That's fine. You worship however you want to worship. And then I would go on to those that stand and then those that walk. He starts with the most important because he said, I want to deal with the season of your life that you should be experiencing the most. He said, I want to talk to the walking Christians. Those that walk means that we are in transition. Let me tell you this. The devil never attacks a sitting duck. The devil never attacks somebody who is doing nothing. When the devil comes against you, it's because you are on the move. When the devil comes against you, it's because you are advancing. When the devil brings everything against you, it's because you are closer to your God-created purpose than you have ever been before. When the devil, that's why I love, because the devil tips his hand, because when the devil shows up in my life after I've evicted him and told him repeatedly, you don't have a place, get thee behind me. When the devil shows up, I say, oh, Brandon, you're close. You're close to a new word. You're close to a new season. You're close to start to produce some fruit, and those things start budding and blossoming. Blossoming out in your life. A lot of us, oh no, the devil showed up, when you should be like, yeah, I'm right where I need to be. Yes, I'm right in the middle of the will of God. Yep, I'm prayed up. I'm ready for this attack. And because he's attacking me, he's letting me know that God's got a plan that is close and it's about to be initiated, unleashed, and activated in my life. Somebody say, that's me. It means we're in times of transition. Walking means movement towards destiny, movement towards purpose. When I think of destiny, I think of destination, meaning that God has predestined us, that God has a place that he wants us to hit. There's a literal target that God has destined for us. Realize this, God has a target for your everyday. And you've got to meet the daily target so that you can meet the monthly target and the yearly target. God's got a great destiny for your life, but a lot of times we look at the bigness of it and we say, God, I can never do that. Quit looking at the next 50 years and start looking at the next 50 minutes. That God, in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to receive a word from you. I'm going to dig down deeper. I'm going to declare. I'm going to pray. I'm going to prophesy the word of God into my life. And so walking is transition. It's movement towards destiny and purpose. Then the next thing he talks about is the way that we stand. Standing in the way of sinners. Don't do it, he said. Standing means in the face of adversity. Standing means I'm getting ready to walk. Standing means I'm through sitting down. Come on, somebody. I'm through doing nothing. I'm through with my rest period. And I'm ready to advance. I'm ready to move forward. I'm ready to do something with the word that I've been standing on. I've been meditating on that word day and night, and I'm ready to activate that word. I'm ready to show God that more than just declaring the promises of God, I'm getting ready to walk out and possess. And let me tell you something, you've got that power on the inside of you. The Holy Ghost, for you Holy Ghost filled believers, it's rumbling on the inside of you. It's waiting for you to stand up. You know, the Holy Ghost will keep you from sitting down too long. There are some people in this church, if you preach the Holy Ghost long enough, they're going to get out and run the aisle. They're going to stand up and pump their fist. They're going to come down to the altar before the altar call even breaks. Why? Because there's something on the inside that won't let them sit down. It makes them rise up. And when you stand up, let me tell you something, every demon in hell takes notice. Satan, you better watch that one. He just stood up. We weren't worried about him when he was sitting down, but something happened on Sunday morning at Living Way. Something happened in their little worship break on Thursday, and the sitting Christian has now become the standing Christian, and a standing Christian is about to be a walking Christian, and a walking Christian is a possessing Christian. Standing in the face of adversity, steadfast. Steadfast. I know you're sitting down, but just rub your feet in the carpet, getting ready to get a good foothold. See, every day before you leave the house, you ought to just, before you open the door, just announce to the devil, listen, I'm getting ready to get a good foothold because I know what God has planned for me. And I know that you're going to fight me every step of the way, but I just want to let you know and remind myself that I'm planted for this season, that I'm going to produce in any season because I've got God on my side. I've got an author in the family. I'm married to Pastor Manning, an incredible author. And so about probably 10 times in my sermon prep for the week, I'll call her, Mandy, is cannot one word or two? Tells me, Mandy, is this a word? No, it's not. Please don't use that. That's embarrassing. No, she doesn't say that. She always goes and looks it up to make me feel better when she already knows that's not a word. So this morning I said, Mandy, it's not unmovable. That's not a word. It's immovable. She said, that's right. Unmovable is not a word. It's immovable. And then 2 minutes later, she came back in the office and said, no, unmovable is a word. Both of them are a word. When we talk about standing, if you're not going to be unmovable, then sit back down. There's no reason to stand if you're going to go right back. Can I encourage you this week to listen to Bishop's message on crowding out the devil from your life from this morning? I love what he said. You can cast out devils today, but unless you make decisions in your life, tomorrow those devils can come right back in your life. And the Bible says the latter state of the man was worse than the former state. Can I tell you, please do yourself a favor and every believer in the world a favor. If you are not going to stand unmovable and immovable, please do not stand at all. Keep sitting until you've got the strength to stand, because once you stand up, you need to be able to tell the devil, it doesn't matter what happens in my life, I've got a God that stands before me, behind me, around me, in me. He's called me to greatness. It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to keep swinging. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep prophesying, because I'm planted. Then we get sitting. Now I know we've kind of thrown off on the sitter, but there are seasons in your life where you sit. But the seasons of sitting should be short. How many of you like to nap? Don't lie in church. Some of y'all have been napping for the last 15 minutes. How many of you believe in what we call power nap? Ooh, I love me some power nap. Now, Mandy doesn't count it a nap unless she can get like 3 solid hours in the bed, total darkness, covers both fans on. It's like a tornado in there. That's a nap to her. I could lay down right here. I literally, now listen, I like getting, and anytime I buy a recliner, the first thing I do is check and see if that bad boy goes all the way back. I want it flat. I don't want to recline. I want it flat. Now, I can get in a recliner. I got me a sleep mask so I can get it dark wherever I am. I turn on the fan. I can do that. But I'm going to tell you what I do a lot is I just lean back in my chair or my desk, put both feet on my desk, and put a 15-minute timer. And I'm talking about when I go to sleep, I can barely hold my eyes open. That 15-minute timer goes up. First of all, I'm scared to death because I don't realize where I'm at. Then I have to catch my balance so I don't flip out of the desk chair. But when I sit up and I've had that 15 minutes, man, as Bishop said, I'm wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. I'm ready for it. Can I encourage you, if you're going to sit, I need you to power nap. I need you to power sit. I don't need you sitting for months or days. I don't understand. And listen, I know we're online, and I've tried to curtail a lot of what I say because it can be taken out of context. But this is not a pastor who needs a 2-month sabbatical. This is not somebody who needs to take 3 months with my family to get myself back together. No, I stay prayed up. I stay worshiped up. If I need some encouragement, I call Sister Tammy. I call Sister Wanda. I call Brother Mike. I'll go plant myself in Bishop's office. I'll talk to my mama. I'll get somebody. I'll say Mandy, which I have the last few years a few times. Come in my office. Lay your hands on me and pray for me. Why? Because if you ever catch me sitting, understand this. You might have just caught me sitting. I might have just closed my eyes. But realize this, in about 15 minutes, I'm going to pop out of that sitting position, and I'm going to get back up to the standing position, and I'm going to get ready to move, because when I'm sitting, I'm resting, I'm strategizing, and I'm preparing my next move. Don't sit long. Stand up. You know, the spirit of laziness can get on you quick. People have been, it's amazing to me. This fits you. I haven't been reading your mail. This is the Holy Ghost telling you. I've been hearing people for the last 6 or 8 weeks. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do this. Man, if I wasn't under quarantine, I would do this. And okay, that's a good excuse for the last 8 weeks, but what about the last 8 years? You've been talking about that for longer than the corona. You started talking about that when corona was just a beer, not a virus. And now you're using it, man. If the economy wasn't like this, I would do this and I would do that. No, you wouldn't. There's always going to be an excuse to keep you sitting. But while I'm sitting, I'm going to rest. While I'm sitting, I'm going to plan my next move. I didn't plan on going here, but I love this. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run into it and they are safe. I preached a whole sermon probably 10 years ago on the 3 reasons people run to the tower. Number 1, the tower was a place where you had a different perspective. Rest gives you perspective. Rest, because you're not in the war, in the battle, it gives you a chance to look at everything, to take inventory of where your faith is, where your family is, where your peace is, where your joy is. And so the tower gives perspective so they could see further distance. They could see the enemy. And so when you run to the name of Jesus, it gives you perspective. The second thing it does is the tower was the place where all the weapons were kept. And so you would run to reload. You would run to get a new weapon. Maybe you lost your weapon. You come back. And so when I rest, in my resting, I am reloading. I love that. When I'm sitting, don't think I'm wasting time. I'm only going to sit long enough to get his perspective. Come on. I'm only going to sit long enough to be reloaded and maybe even get a new weapon that I didn't even know exist and allow God to show me. I remember this year, coming in this year when we started fasting, there was numerous new converts here at Living Way. Pastor, I've never fasted before. What's the Daniel fast? What's this? What are we talking about? They're learning a new weapon. They're learning new power. The third reason is to strategize that when I leave this tower, this is how I'm going to do it differently. It's impossible to live a mistake-free life. But one thing we must do is learn from every mistake. And not just learn what not to do, but in those mistakes, go to Jesus and say, where did I mess up, God? Did I ignore you on a certain day? Did I mishear you in a certain time? But my sitting seasons are the shortest seasons of my life. But the devil would love for your sitting seasons to be the longest seasons of your life, because he doesn't have to worry about, because you could strategize the greatest that you've ever strategized. You can get the greatest perspective that you've ever got, but until you rise up, it doesn't matter. He goes to a tax collector named Levi. We know him as Matthew. Doesn't have a long discourse with him. Says two words. It says, follow me. Matthew's sitting there making mad money as a taxman, Mr. IRS, making tons of money. Jesus doesn't tell him, if you come to me, this is what's going to happen. What did he say? He said, I just need you to start walking. But before you can walk, you've got to stand, because the Bible says he was sitting at the receipt, the table of taxes. The Bible says that Matthew did three things. Forsook all. He stood up, he followed Jesus. Here's a man that does all three things that David encourages us to do. The way he walks, the way he stands, the way he sits. The problem and the issue with a lot of believers is we get those out of order. There's no need to stand until you've forsaken all. There's no need to walk unless you're already standing. What most people do is we get emotional. Come on, church. They sing the best song. They sing our favorite song. We hear our favorite podcast from our favorite preacher. We go to this conference. We go to this worship experience. We go to this concert, and Almighty God shows up, and we have tears streaming down our face, and we make all these proclamations to God. God, I'm going to follow you. God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The problem is you stood up, and you started following, but you never forsook all. And when you don't forsake all, you stand and you follow is when you backslide. But for those of us that, before we stand up, hold on, I'm going to look at everything in my life. I'm going to leave my family. I'm going to leave my job. I'm going to leave all this money to pursue Jesus. See, they didn't know that their forsaking all was going to be for 3.5 years. They still said yes. Jesus sent them back to their families better than when they ever came out. Can I encourage you? I've said this before. I'll say it a million times before I die again. Listen. When God asks you to sacrifice something, there's always something better on down the road. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next month. But God will never require something of you here and leave you lesser than there. God always leaves you greater than when he found you. And let the church say amen and amen. Let's get into this real quick. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's talk about the ungodly. It's amazing that David tells us what not to do instead of what to do, because he could have said, blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly. Why does he take the negative approach? Because there was more people walking with the ungodly than there were walking with the godly. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So what he's really saying is walk in the counsel of the godly. Don't take advice and counsel of those who do not walk with God. Can I encourage you? Your best friend on social media should not be your counselor. The person you go clubbing with should not be giving you relationship advice. Quit letting somebody with no children or terrible children tell you how to raise your children. Quit letting somebody who has never had a good relationship or a relationship past 6 months tell you what you need to do. Listen, there is far worse things than being single. Far worse. Don't take counsel and advice from people who are not godly. Make sure they got a prayer life. Make sure they're Holy Ghost filled. Make sure they're serving at a local church. But make sure they are planted. What is the ungodly? Four things the ungodly. The ungodly cast off the fear of God. The fear of God is not being scared of God. There's a fear, there's a respect and awe of the being that God is. That he might have looked like man on this earth, but he is so much greater than us. He is a perfect God. He was there before the beginning. He will be there until the end. And they have no fear of God, which means, number two, the ungodly live as if God doesn't exist. This world is full of them. They get it tattooed on. Only God can judge me. My response every time is that should terrify you. That there is a God that will judge you if you don't give your life to him before the judgment. See, for those of us that are believers in here, we're excited because our sins go before us. All those sins are already taken care of. But if you don't give your life to Jesus, those sins come trailing behind you, and you're worried about, can I make it through the pearly gates? You should be concerned with the videotape they're going to show of every sin you've ever committed. But for those of us that are the righteousness of God, that video has already been played. It has already been dismissed. It has already been erased. It is not admissible in court, and you're going to hear, well done, thou good, faithful, and planted servant. The ungodly withhold their service to him. Isn't it amazing how much we will do for our gods and how our jobs and how little we will do for our God? Isn't it amazing that you'll wake up at 4 a.m. to go work out, but you can't show up 30 minutes early in the middle of the day to serve at church? You say, well, you're just saying that because you're out of shape. Well, isn't it amazing that we will go to the extent of getting on eHarmony and Christian Mingle and Cowboys Only and Where Black Ebony's Meet and all the other 50. Isn't it amazing that we'll work so hard on that relationship profile, but this relationship we work on for about 30 minutes a week if we come to church that day, if we tune in? And can I talk to those of you that are watching something on ESPN while I'm preaching in the background? That is not church. Turn ESPN off, go to the kitchen table, get your Bible out. Those of you here, you ought to be really praising God right there. You watching TV while we're worshiping in the background is not church. You've got to be zoned in. You've got to be in it. You ought to worship there. It should be easier to worship at your house than it is in this house. Why? Because you're all by yourself. It doesn't matter if you have rhythm. It doesn't matter if you can sing. The ungodly don't serve. The ungodly leave out God's word, which leads to a lack of doing God's word. Omission. There are sins of omission. We just leave them out. But if we keep omitting, it will lead to sins of commission, where we actively don't do things that we're supposed to do. Things that we used to do with no questions asked in the name of God, we feel like we've outgrown. Can I encourage every believer in this house and watching by TV today, you never outgrow worship. You never outgrow praise. See, some of us, when we came into God, we were jumping up and down in this altar. We were knelt down with big crocodile tears. You didn't mature out of that. You didn't grow out of that. That is something that should still be being done today. And let me tell you something. When you've proven that you can worship, pray, study, and meditate, that's the level that God holds you accountable. And God is asking, what happened when your roots used to run deep? Now they're not deep anymore. The word, which we translate ungodly, signifies these words. It says unsettled. They aim at no certain end. They walk by no certain rule. They're at the command of every lust, and they give in to every temptation. Those are the ungodly. Don't let them speak into your life. Don't let them talk about you. Don't let them talk to you. Come on, we'll fight about everything. One rapper said last year, he said, you better put some respect on my name. When you talk to me, you got to realize I'm a planted person. Don't be bringing your cursing, filthy, profane, blasphemous mouth around me. Why? Because I am a blessed, planted person. I choose to walk after God, and I'm not going to let your words, I'm not going to let your advice, I'm not going to let your counsel. Sure, I'll minister with you, but I'm not going to walk with you. I'm not going to live my life with you. I will preach to you, I will pray you, I will love you, and yes, I will even serve you, but I'm not going to allow you to get me to uproot myself. Why? Because I've got too much on the line, too far God has brought me from to let the ungodly mess me up. Number two, blessed is the man that standeth not in the way of sinners. Don't stand, he says, in the way of sinners. Stand in the way of the righteous is what he would say in the positive outlook. The word for sinners signifies, and this is a strong statement, those that are determined to practice sin. And set it up, I love this phrase, set it up as their trade. What they do for a living. Let me tell you something. For those of you that are saved and have been washed with the blood of Jesus, you are saved, sanctified, you are going to a real place called heaven. Don't let the devil lie to you when you sin and call you a sinner. See, I make mistakes, but I am not a mistake. I have failed, but I am not a failure. A sinner is what I used to be. When I fall down on Tuesday because I allow myself to walk with sinners, I'm not going to throw my entire life away because of one decision, bad choice, or decision that I made. What do? I am a just man that fell down. Come on, if you were a just man, shouldn't you not fall? No, there's just men who make mistakes called sin. But when I sin, I get up and I say, God, I am so sorry. I should not have gone there. I should not have done that. I should not have said that. And on Monday, I can have the blood of Jesus freshly applied to me. Just because I sin one time does not make me a sinner. One mistake does not take you back to who you used to be. But I'm going to tell you what you can't do. You can't hang out with sinners and think that you can stay righteous. See, and I know there's a whole movement in my generation, but we're going to go to the bars, and we're going to drink with them, and we're going to get them saved, and we're going to be, no. You stoop to the mud to try to clean them up. You can't clean somebody up if you're going to rub yourself in the mud that you're trying to clean off of them. What you can do is you can sit down and have a glass of water. Come on, somebody. What you can do is invite them to church. What you can do is say, I'm not going to go clubbing with you, but how about I come over to your house or you come over to my house and let's have a bottle of iced tea. Let's sit down and talk about life. I'm not going to put myself in the filth and expect to stay clean. Well, there's some people here. Remember, we're supposed to be bringing people up. See, I'm strong enough. And the Bible says that Jesus stooped. He stooped. One knee. But that means he's ready to get right back up. See, some of us are laying down in it. He was always looking this way, saying, come on my side. He never got on her side. Because he got on her side on the cross. He said, there's a better way. Can I encourage you? Cut the sin out of your life. That's in you. Cut the sinners out of your life. I'm talking about those that have set up the trade of sin in their life. They keep doing wrong and they don't want to get right. Come on, you fall down one time, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. It was a mistake. But if you keep falling in the same trap over and over and over, you didn't fall, you jumped. There's a difference between falling into sin and jumping into sin. When I fall into sin, come on, I get it up as quick as I can and I ask God for forgiveness. But when I jump into sin, because it's what I want to do, where I want to be, with who I want to be. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Pastor Beg, if you'll come. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that sits not on the seat of the scornful. I love this. There's some of us And I'll just put my hand up. This happens more so than I would like to admit. There's some of us that have heard these scriptures preached, taught, read, Bible school, PBS, Sunday school, all of our lives. And scornful is one of those words that most people don't even know what it means. But God, I'm not going to sit there. How do you know you're not going to sit there? You don't know what it is. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. When we talk about the seat of the scornful, it's those who have set their mouths against heaven. What a powerful statement. Because now it's not those that are living in sin on the DL. Those that are in church on Sunday and bumping in the clubs on Friday. I don't know what all the clubbing people been doing the last 10 weeks. Y'all probably going crazy. Probably got LED strips up in the living room now, and you bumping all that. But these are people who are not secret sinners. But they set their mouth against the heaven. They're vocal in their disdain for God, for believers, for church, for worship, for Jesus Christ. I saw a UFC fighter this week said, if I had been alive 2,000 years ago, that I would have put Jesus in an ankle lock, broke his ankle, made him tap out. Crazy. Oh. That's the scornful. That's one person that if they said that, I would be like, looking for the lightning bolt, let me get out the way. So what's the opposite of the scornful? The praiser? The prophesier. Don't sit. Sit with those that have set their mouth against heavens and against God. Why? Because remember, sitting is a time of rest. My heart goes out to the stay-at-home moms and dads, the people that have been working from home, because you haven't been able to get your nap because you got toddlers or you got teenagers that will not let you sleep. See, when you sit with the wrong people, you cannot get rest. When you sit with the wrong people, you will not be restored. When you sit with the wrong people, you cannot strategize properly. When you sit with the wrong people, you cannot reload and weaponize yourself like you need to be weaponized because they're always running their mouth. There is somebody in every group that will not shut up. And if your group doesn't have somebody like that, guess what? You're that person. Shut your mouth for a season. Allow somebody else to say something. Get away from the people that are always talking down God. And what if he doesn't come through? And what if it doesn't happen? Surround your, if I'm going to sit with somebody, I'm sitting with somebody that knows how to shake heaven with prayer. I know I'm sitting with somebody that knows how to praise Jesus down on this earth. If you are wanting that, then you've got to watch who you walk with, where you stand, and who you sit with. Stand on your feet. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. When was the last time you were excited to open the Bible? The Word of God, it's the breath of life. It's Jesus, John 1:1. I've spent more time in the Word of God during quarantine than I have in any other 3-month period of my life, and I'm loving it. I desire, I'm eating it up fresh. I believe, and listen to what I'm going to say. I believe that each season of our life, here's this word again, offers a different perspective on God's word. I've been reading things the last 3 months that I've read 100 times, Sister Tanya, but it's hit me like a bag of bricks over the head, like, how did I miss that? I said, no, perspective. You're in this thing called pandemic you've never been in before. You're in this thing called quarantine that your generation's never seen before, and so now your perspective when you read the word of God. Come on. Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound. That's not meant any more to me than this season. I'm like, I've always loved that verse, but now I'm like, holy smokes. You didn't give me the fear, I'm not going to take it. I've surrounded myself with people like Chris and Heather. Of course, my family. Great men and women of God that I walk with, sit with, that I stand with. And I'm planning. I've delighted in the word of God, day and night, eating it. Verse 3, we finally get to the blessing. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Which meaning, if you don't walk the right way, stand the right way, sit with the right people, you cannot be planted. The pastor, I'm not planted. One of those three things, take inventory. look in it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. One translation says in every season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Give me 30 seconds to read in the Message Bible. Psalm 1, verse 1. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. You don't slink along dead-end roads. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You're a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. Catch me sitting. Know that I'm getting ready to stand. See me standing. I'm not about to sit down, getting ready to walk. I'm talking to those of you that the last 10 weeks, honestly, it's a mess, Pastor. My mind has been everywhere. The problems in my marriage have been exacerbated because now we're locked in together. Seriously. Abuse, physical, domestic abuse is through the roof right now. Because used to, you could get away from each other for 10 hours, 40, 50 hours a week. Now you're in the home. Maybe your children, now you're beginning to see some things in your children that you didn't see because they were gone 5 days a week and you were at work and you spent an hour and a half with them each night, but now you're seeing something different. I'm talking to those of you that are ready. Maybe you're sitting right now and you're ready to stand. I want you to get out of your seat and I want you to come to this altar. Don't worry about what people think.